Proverbs 2, are you back to Proverbs there? Listen to this real quick. Proverbs 2, verse 1, Living Bible says, every young man and woman who listens to me and obeys my instructions will be given wisdom and good sense. Verse 3, 4, and 5, yes, if you want better insight and discernment and are searching for them as you would for lost money or hidden treasure, then wisdom will be given you if you search for it, like you'd search if you lost some money. I mean, you'd search real good if you lost some money. And the knowledge of God himself, it'll be given to you, wisdom, and the knowledge of God himself, you will soon learn the importance of reverence for the Lord and trusting him. Verse 6, for the Lord grants wisdom. His every word is a treasure of knowledge and understanding. Verse 7 and 8, he grants good sense to the godly, his saints. He is their shield, protecting them and guarding their pathway. Somebody shout guardrails. Guarding their pathway. He shows how to distinguish right from wrong, how to find the right decision every time. Amen. Verse 10, for wisdom and truth will enter the very center of your being, filling your life with joy. How many want to be happy? How many want joy? You'll need wisdom for that to happen. Amen. Verse 11, 12, and 13, you will be given the sense to stay away from evil men who want you to be their partners in crime. Men who turn from God's ways to walk down dark and evil paths, verse 14, and exult in doing wrong, for they thoroughly enjoy their sins. Verse 15, everything they do is crooked and wrong. Verse 16 and 17, only wisdom from the Lord can save a man or woman from the flattery of prostitutes. These girls have abandoned their husbands and flattered the laws of God. Verse 18, their houses lie along the road to death and hell. Verse 19, the men who enter them are doomed. None of these men will ever be the same again. Verse 20, follow the steps of the godly instead and stay on the right path. Somebody say, stay on the right path. Verse 21, for only good men and women enjoy life to the full. We want to enjoy life to the full, don't we? Evil men, verse 22, evil people lose the good things they might have had. Amen. That was a big amen to what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? See, you wouldn't say amen, so he, yeah. Glory to God. I'm encouraged. Hallelujah. Those that are not good, the good things, they lose the good things they might have had, and they themselves shall be destroyed. How many believe and might think you might need some wisdom? Let me share. Can I share three ways to seek godly wisdom this morning? Amen? It's not enough to tell you you need it. I need to tell you how to get it. Amen. The first one, number one, is admit we need God's wisdom. Huh? We don't accept, listen to, or ask for something we don't think we need. Somebody say amen or oh my. Yeah. I heard more oh my's than amens. We're not going to ask for it if we don't think we need it. Guardrails, and I'll say it again, they're proactive, not reactive. You and I must take the initiative and build them before they're needed. Reactive is only good if you get a second chance and can get out of the ditch so you don't fall in it again. But we want to be proactive. We need to make the guardrails now so we don't have a crash and burn. Amen. And so the whole point of this message is keeping our lives out of the ditch. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, ditches, as you and I know, are hard to get out of. Amen. I told you how the ditch I was in. Proverbs 16 and 18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride says, you can't tell me anything. I know it all. I may know that's not just maybe some young people you know. Uh-huh. How many of you have known somebody, you can't tell them anything? You try to tell them something, I'm talking about adults. I mean, they know it all. They come in knowing it all. If you even try to get a word in edgewise, you can forget it. You know what that really tells me? They don't want to hear it. And I mean, if they don't want to hear it, no use of you telling them. Amen. All right. Now, I want us to see something, because that pride and that destruction and that going before a fall, the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, to the Corinthian Christians, in the 10th chapter. If you've got your Bibles, you might want to turn there real quick with me. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. If you've had a problem or any challenges in your Christian life, read the book of Corinthians and the Corinthian Christians. It will encourage you greatly, because they were a mess. I'm telling you, they had some issues. They were Christians, but Paul has to address them. They got one guy that's making it with his father's wife, probably his stepmom. Yeah. And they got all kinds of deals going. Yeah. So they were out there. How many know they were dropping it hot while it was hot, and it was always hot? Corinthian church was a hot church. They were a hot mess. And Paul was dealing with it. Amen. I mean, no, God's not afraid to get in our messes. He loves to take messes and turn them into miracles, and losses into gains. God's not bothered, not hindered by that. Sometimes people are. They get all weird. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians, I'm reading in the Message Bible. We don't hear from the Message Bible a lot, but let me start with verse 1. Remember our history, friends, Paul the Apostle is telling the Corinthian Christians, and be warned, all of our ancestors were led by the providential cloud and taken miraculously through the sea. They went through the waters in a baptism like ours, as Moses led them from enslaving death to salvation life. Verse 3, they all ate. They all drank identical food and drink, meals provided daily by God. They drank from the rock, God's fountain for them that stayed with them wherever they were. And the rock was Christ. Verse 5. But just, listen to this, just experiencing God's wonder and grace didn't seem to mean much. Most of them were defeated by temptation during the hard times in the desert, and God was not pleased. Amen. Verse 6, the same thing could happen to us. He tells them, we must be on guard. Somebody say guardrails. We must be on guard so that we never get caught up in wanting our own way as they did. That's what God was not pleased with. His way is the right way, the best way. Their way leads to destruction and to a fall. Verse 7, and we must not turn our religion into a circus as they did. First the people partied, then they threw a dance. King James Version says they got naked. That naked, as in no clothes. I may know it's better to dance in the spirit and be real careful of the boogaloo, huh? Now that's old for what my time. I don't know what the new one is, but whatever it is now. God's not against dance. Amen. I'm not against some dance. Some dance is good. Amen. Dance with my wife. Amen. We ain't gonna do the boogaloo, but you know what I mean. So they turned the religion into a circus. First the people party, then they threw a dance. Verse 8, we must not be sexually promiscuous. They paid for that. Remember, with 23,000 deaths in one day. Whoa. Boy, I'm glad we got mercy and grace today, aren't you? We have a whole lot of folks dead around here. Not around here, of course, but in our nation, in our city, 23,000, my God. Verse 9, we must never try to get Christ to serve us instead of us serving him. Did you catch that? they tried it. And if you read there, God launched an epidemic of poisonous snakes. We got to serve him, not try to get him to serve us. Verse 10, we must be careful not to stir up discontent. Tell someone next to you, don't start it. Now look at the one that told you that and look back to them and tell them, you don't start it either. Come on. Yeah. No. No.